Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Studios here, Justin Proper. Thanks for hanging out with us. Nobody likes that stuff.
Yeah. Here's what I've been told. One, I do the best Chewbacca impression ever.
That's what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
No, I don't think that anyone's actually said that to you ever.
You ready? Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you really want to hear a Chewbacca impression?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to step back a little bit. Way a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, that was way better than mine. Mine sounded like a dying squirrel. Dang it.
Yeah.
You are listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org, broadcasting every Monday night on the net from 10 to 11 p.m.
Which net?
All of them. And we're also broadcasting on Saturday nights on KTIA from 7 to 8-ish. Here's the deal. If you will listen on the online show, you're getting the bonus content, which is more freelance. Big heavy stuff going on tonight, Ben.
Yeah, no doubt. So here's what we're talking about. We're on proof 41 from godisimaginary.com, and it is proof number 41 is flip a coin. I think that if I remember correctly, this is a big prayer focus. But we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
So we're rolling right through. We only got 9 more left plus 3 bonus, and we'll be done. We've answered every question.
Well, that scares me.
So
for a couple reasons, really. One, I don't know what we're going to do to fill the show. And two, there's got to be someone else that has questions we can answer.
Yeah, no doubt.
I bet we can find some.
So we're going to walk through that. Also, we're going to do a round of Secular versus Solomon.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
It's about ready, about time, about space, about the time I beat your face with Secular versus Solomon.
Unnecessary.
It's a predetermined rhyme.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Yeah. Is it biblically a problem if I say I'm going to beat your face? And I don't really intend to, but you know that I don't intend to. Like, is that still a lie?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem.
Good, I'm going to beat your face.
In that case, I'm going to beat your face back.
Actually, I posed the question when I got in here, if it's okay to lie to an animal. I mean, morally, it seems... biblically, I can't find anything that goes directly against it, but then you're saying, look, I can sin against a dog. So that covers a lot of ground. Like, you do a lot of sinning against an animal. Maybe you shouldn't be lying to an animal. But here's what I do. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to tell you what I did and the situation that put me in the straits and put me in a moral dilemma on whether I can lie to animals or not.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Troy has some Pope-style advice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. I'm ready for it. And also, people need some help. The economy is not turning around. They say that it is, but that's only for people like Troy.
Yeah.
Right. But for me and Mike and Dan, you know.
Things are going down even.
Still trying to live
life.
We're
not looking good at all.
Yeah.
No. So, Troy was going to buy some kind of phone booth or something earlier. He's looking at the computer and he's like, hey, check out this $300-some phone booth I'm going to buy.
All right. Okay. Here's the situation. So, I was on the phone with my girlfriend last night. We were talking and I was just bored and looking up a website called All Posters. It's just... a website that has a lot of posters.
What, do you work for them? Quit shilling for All Posters.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's
you
a
live some
that
kind of
posters.
Life, Booba. I'll tell you that.
I'm going to beat your face. I'm going to beat your face. I was bored, and I was looking through this website, and I found something that it's a Doctor Who. If for all the people who watched the show before, it's called The TARDIS. They have a cutout of The TARDIS that's about 9 foot tall, and it's 3x3, and it's three-dimensional to where you can open up the doors and actually go into it. It's $249.99, and I am irresponsible with money, and I am going to start saving up $12.50 a paycheck for the next 5 months.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I need you to put the camera on me for a second.
You're going to have to move Boova's camera.
Is mine not working? Dig on this. That's a look of disgust. I mean, just utter disgust. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you or why you live the way you live, that you're buying a TARDIS 12-foot poster.
You could buy a 15-man tent for $38.99
at the Walmart. I tell you what, I'll come stand at your house in a costume for $250. And I'll wave at you and say nice things to you if that's what you want. Okay. I can't lie to you. But
fair enough.
But Ian did mention the economy is going quite well for him right now.
Right, exactly. I'm not saying that that this is a great decision, everyone.
Right.
Like,
I don't know how you just happened to land on allposters.com. Did you start randomly searching things and end up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened to me.
Well, that was a boring story.
Well, yeah, I said, I was talking to her, looking up random stuff, and I was looking up like Star Wars posters.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of stuff I do at 2
o'clock in the morning. So here's the deal. The tagline of the show was Honest Faith, Fierce Grace, and Donkeys. There's no compelling radio in there. You knew what you were getting into.
Right, exactly.
You're listening to Live from the Path. All right, here's the deal. We're going to jump right into this proof. This is proof number 41 from the 50 proofs from GodIsImaginary.com. And the premise is here's 50 things that he says make God or prove that God is imaginary. We've been walking through them because we should be able to give an account of our faith, a reason for the hope, and see how we do on proof number 41, cleverly entitled Flip a Coin. Here we go. If you are a Christian who believes in the power of prayer...
I am, Ben.
Okay.
I am as well.
Here is a very simple experiment. Don't bandwagon, Booba. Where were you at the beginning?
Yeah.
You're still looking up posters.
I'm looking for a prayer poster.
I was waiting my turn, Ben. Go ahead.
I bet they could do a 12-foot poster of me. That'd be awesome.
In my prayer hat.
Hello, tall Troy.
Hey, giant Troy. How you doing?
Just waiting for everyone else to agree to pray, and then I will.
Here's a very simple experiment that will show you something very interesting about your faith. Ooh. Take a coin out of your pocket. Who's doing it?
Dude, the economy's bad. Boo is the only one got one.
Who have you got?
He's only got bills. Large bills.
That's true.
Do you have one or don't you?
No, I don't think I have any coins.
I think I do.
Nobody has a coin?
Look at this.
I got a coin.
I have a piggy bank
at work.
I got
a quarter right here.
Okay, Dan's got one.
Hold on. Quick diversion. Well, people are carrying less cash on them, right?
Right.
Do you feel like it's wrong if you're a homeless guy to have a debit? If you have a debit machine on you. I need some help, debit.
Now, if you picked up one of those old school ones that went... You know where you got a carbon paper?
Yeah.
I feel like I'd respect that. If you have one on your iPhone, I feel like I can't give you any money.
Let me pull out my iPhone. I got this crazy new app. Go ahead and put in $5. There you go.
Yeah.
Shink.
The Mobo Hobo.
Sweet.
All right. Here we go. Okay.
The money's coming in.
Dan, did you come up with the coin?
I have a coin right here.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if we can do this. Now pray sincerely to Ra.
Ooh. No, I'm sorry. Fail.
Don't do that.
Ah, man. Okay, anyway, here's the hypothetical one. Don't try this at home. Dear Ra, Almighty Sun God, I'm going to flip this ordinary coin 50 times, and I'm asking you to cause it to land heads up side all 50 times. In Ra's name I pray, amen. Now flip the coin. Chances are that you won't get past the fifth or sixth flip, and the coin will land tails. What does this mean? Most people would look at this stat and conclude that Ra is imaginary. We prayed to Ra, and Ra did nothing. We can prove that Ra is imaginary by using statistical analysis. If we flip the coin thousands of times, praying to Ra each time, we will find that the coin lands heads or tails in exact correlation with the normal laws of probability. Ra has absolutely no effect on the coin, no matter how much we pray. Even if we find 1,000 of Ra's most faithful believers and ask them to do the praying flipping, the results will be the same. Therefore, as rational people, we conclude that Ra is imaginary. We look at Ra in the same way that we look at leprechauns, mermaids, Santa, and so on. We know that people who believe in Ra are delusional. Now, let's try the experiment again, but this time let's pray to Jesus Christ instead of Ra. Pray sincerely to Jesus like this. Dear Jesus, I know that you exist and I know that you hear and answer prayers as you promise in the Bible. I'm going to flip this ordinary coin 50 times and I'm asking you to cause it to land heads upside all 50 times. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now flip the coin. Once again, after the fifth or sixth flip, the coin will land tails. If we flip the coin thousands of times, praying to Jesus each time, we will find that the coin lands heads or tails in exact correlation with the normal laws of probability. We can gather together a group of Jesus' most pious followers to do the praying, and the result will be the same. Jesus will have zero effect on the coin. This makes complete sense. It's not like there are two laws of probability, one for Christians who pray and the others for non-Christians. We all know that. There's only one law of probability because prayers have zero effect. That goes for all prayers. Jesus has no effect on our planet no matter how much we pray. We can prove that conclusively using statistical analysis. If you are a Christian, watch what is happening inside your mind right now. The data is absolutely identical in both experiments. With Ra, you looked at the data rationally and concluded that Ra is imaginary. But with Jesus, unnecessary space, something else will happen. In your mind, you have already come up with 1,000 rationalizations to explain why Jesus did not answer your prayers. Let's see if any of these were crossing your mind. Okay, ready? It is not his will.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't have time.
No.
I didn't pray the right way.
No.
I am not worthy.
That's true,
yeah.
But I was
there. Yeah, but that's not.
That wasn't in my mind at the moment.
No.
I do not have enough faith.
No.
I cannot test the Lord like this.
That's true.
Yeah.
It is not part of Jesus' plan for me.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. And again,
well, are you serious, Dan, with the plan thing?
Well, maybe he doesn't have a plan for me to have a Camaro or something. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You just agreed to a plan, and you're not necessarily beholden to the plan.
Now, anyway, final bullet point, and on and on and on and on, dot, dot, dot.
I was thinking that.
Again, a misuse of the bullet point. One rationalization that you may find yourself developing is particularly interesting. You may say to yourself, well, of course Jesus didn't answer me when I pray about a coin toss because it's too trivial. Where did this rationalization come from? If you read what Jesus says about prayer in the Bible, Jesus does not ever say, don't pray to me about coin tosses. Jesus clearly says he will answer your prayers, and he puts no boundaries on what you may pray for. You invented this rationalization out of thin air. If you're a Christian who is offended by the notion of praying about a coin toss, then let's try this instead. Get down on your knees right now and pray as follows, and it's a blah, blah, blah about curing every case of cancer.
Right.
Will every case of cancer be gone tomorrow? Of course not. If you are a believer, you can create dozens of rationalizations for this unanswered prayer. But that does not change the reality of the situation. There is zero effect from praying, and it does not matter what you pray for. You are an expert at creating rationalizations for Jesus. The reason you are an expert is because Jesus does not answer any of your prayers. The reason why Jesus does not answer any of your prayers is because Jesus is imaginary. We can find dozens of pieces of evidence to demonstrate that the Christian story is imaginary. Start with proof number one to see them all. He's already going back to his greatest hits, and he's only on 41.
Well, he's only had three hits. They're all about prayer.
And that was it. That's the final.
That's the end.
Yeah. All right. Thoughts?
Dan Hudson. Okay, so Satan takes Jesus to the top of the temple, and he says, hey, Jesus, if you're the Son of God, go ahead and throw yourself off the temple. The angels will catch you. They have to. You're God. And Jesus' response was, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He said, yeah, I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
And that's basically God's response. I realize this does not disprove him. The last thing you can go to an atheist is use scripture to disprove, yeah, you know, their point. I understand that. But I am a person of faith, and that's what goes through my mind. It's like you do not put the Lord your God to the test. I mean, he doesn't play trivial games. He's not gonna play the flip the quarter game.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to prove himself to me.
Here's the thing. I know that proof was not about the sun god Ray, but I feel like every day,
Wait, is it not Ra? I made a doofus out of myself?
I call him Ray.
It's Ra.
I call him Ray.
Big
anyway,
Raymond.
It's not about the sun god Raymond, but I feel like the sun god Raymond is defeated every day by the night god, whatever his name is.
Those Moonies, he
loses. There can't be one day where the sun god's not like, you know what, I'm just going to stay longer because I'm the ultimate sun god Raven. And then mischievous Loki, the night god, shows up and terrorizes sun god Raven until he runs away for at least 12 hours.
Or so.
Yeah. That's why I don't pray to the sun god Raven, because he can't even control his own domain. Most of all, I thought, you know, the question that crossed my mind while you were talking is why do I, almost to his point really, why do I think that the God of the Bible is real and I don't think the sun god Raymond is real?
Uh-huh.
And I thought about it, and here's the thing. I don't know that I have any completely logical evidence. I haven't really done a whole lot of looking into the sun god Raymond.
Well, I mean, there's no historical evidence for Big Ray in the sky.
Well, here's the thing, is the God of the Bible reached out to me. The sun god Raymond did not. So even if there is a sun god Raymond, I feel like he didn't care enough about me to tell me he loved me and send people that know him to tell me about a life lived with him and the life that he has for me. So let's say the sun god Raymond is real. I don't know. I don't want to hang around with him. He doesn't love me enough to send people after me. So whatever. I feel like I've made the right choice.
He's a junk deity.
Yeah. And well, plus, how much work can he get done 12 hours a day? He gets retreated.
Yeah. Who wants to worship a god that 12 hours in goes, gotta go.
Yeah, sorry, sun god Raymond's tired.
See you tomorrow.
He only hangs out on half the planet at a time.
He's half a Sabbath every day. Every day is Sabbath.
God gets all of it.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
I feel like some of his bullet points are exactly what we're thinking. It's the whole, it is not his will. I'm not worthy, which we all agreed on is true. I can't attest the Lord like this. He comments on those being bullet points and rationalizations for us. However, doesn't ever go through and try and disprove them. He just comments and says, that's what we think.
Yeah, it's only a mocking rationalization if it's not true.
Right, exactly.
And actually, like it's almost comforting that I don't control God like that, right? Because then that would make me God. I don't want to be the purse string man and say, God, do this with the coin. That
kind obviously, of right God. Now, we would have a phone booth in here right now with me if it were on what I want. Obviously, I would have a Chewbacca suit as well, just saying.
Yeah. You make me sad, Booba.
That's understandable. But yeah, I completely agree with some of his rationalizations. Yeah, it's not in his will, and I'm not going to test him. That's exactly right. Great job, God is imaginary guy, for getting the right rationalization. However, not great job trying to mock it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of throwaway stuff in here. The reason why Jesus does not answer any of your prayers is because Jesus is imaginary. Now listen here. I'm open to people questioning a man that rose from the dead 3 days after because you've never seen it done.
Right.
I get that. But there's no reasonable or rational historian that doubts the existence of Jesus the man. That is not happening.
Right.
He was there.
Every once in a while you get some kind of squirrely guy with like a weird mustache who makes the news because he's like, Jesus never lived, you know? And like nobody actually believes that Jesus wasn't alive. They doubt his resurrection. But there's not a reasonable historian that doubts his existence.
Yeah.
And so you know, to say something like, Jesus does not answer any of your prayers is because Jesus is imaginary. Now, he could have said, Jesus doesn't answer your prayers because Jesus was a normal dude.
Right.
Okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's a place to start.
I think we could start there and talk through, you know, an understanding of what proof exists for the resurrection, for the crucifixion, for Jesus the man. But, you know, it's just kind of goofy it's a waste of a decent argument to throw something like that in there. There was something else that there's something else that he said that I thought was interesting. It had to do with we can gather together a group of Jesus' most pious followers, right? basic misunderstanding, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As if God's like, a righteous man,
right?
Yeah. I shall listen to him. Like
those are Jesus' favorite people, the pious followers, right?
you know, it's a complete misunderstanding to think that there's a subsect of righteous and unrighteous. There, it's not righteous people and unrighteous people. It's Jesus and then all people.
Right.
that is the comparison. Like there's no piety anywhere, as judged by anybody. And so, like again, it reflects a basic misunderstanding of the Christian faith to even think that the piety would matter, that there was something where God's like, well, I'll listen to this guy because unless he's Jesus, he doesn't have a compelling case of righteousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's only righteous because Jesus is righteousness and he shares the wealth.
Go ahead.
I would say, I suppose if you're an atheist, you're not really into the scene of Christianity. So you don't really, you don't really get us, you know. Who would you look at and say is righteous? Probably the people that Jesus looked at during his day that were Pharisees and Sadducees and got ticked off at him saying, quit acting so pious and righteous.
Are you saying that about Billy Graham? Because Billy Graham's all right.
Well, I like Billy Graham.
Take back what you said, Dan.
I'm just trying to decide who he would pick. What characteristics would he look at, this guy, this atheist guy, and say, now there's a pious Christian. Is it the person who carries the big Bible and goes to the church and says a few ritualistic sentences once in a while? Or someone who has a relationship? Probably not, because he doesn't believe you can have a relationship. I'm just curious. I'd like to know.
No, actually, that is a pretty good question. Yeah. If when they blank generalize, Christians, people that follow Jesus, I wonder who they have in mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's the people that just like when they take the whenever you're logging into Facebook to create a new Facebook, you take the whole Christian thing. I think that's where the generalization comes from.
It's probably their uncle or something.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know. They saw somebody in their
family.
Patrick
Lady on
like,
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Right.
They tried to get you to go to vacation Bible school. You said no. And so every Christmas he harassed you about the way your life is going.
Right. Yeah. It just doesn't seem like when they do the generalizations of Christians, it's ridiculous of for if the things that they come up with, the divorce rate amongst Christians and the other things that most Christians deal with and everything like that. I feel like those are the people that just tick the box. And not the people that are actually truly like trying
followers
to seek
of Christ.
A relationship with Christ and following him. Exactly.
Well, I think Hollywood usually does a pretty good job depicting Christians.
Oh, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Haven't you seen Bruce Almighty?
Exactly. That's all it is.
Well, of course.
All right. All right. All right. So let's. I'll give you I'll give you a preview of next week. Proof number 42, listen when God talks.
Ooh.
Here it goes. If you know a group of devout Christians, you will frequently hear them say to each other, and even to people outside the group, things like, my husband and I are not sure what to do in this situation. We're going to pray to God and see what he tells us to do. According to televangelists and ministers, God also frequently talks to them as well. Okay, there's your example of who he's using.
Yeah. This is going to be excellent.
In other words, Christians believe that God transmits divine messages to his followers in response to prayer. Christians actually believe that the Almighty, all-knowing creator of the universe is talking to them personally and guiding their decisions. Now, this guy's got a self-worth problem.
Yeah.
As if God can't choose to stoop as low as he wishes.
You know, that's sometimes that's kind of hard, though. Like, I mean, he's obviously not coming at it from a Christian standpoint, but like, when I've sought answers from God about something, I second guess those answers all. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, forever. And like, I know I'm doing it, and I don't. All I do is keep praying. Like, I know that if this is what you want, that you won't let me screw it up. But I almost find it to be a Job problem. Like, I wanted more information than he wanted to give me. And I knew that's what I was after. And, of course, he knew that's what I was after. And I'm like, sometimes I pray that, and it's weird. I'm trying to decide. I'm like, Lord, you know me. You know which way I'm heading. Can you – I don't know what you're going to do here, but just let me be in your will. You know what I'm saying? Let me do what you want me to do. You know the way my mind works. You know what I'm thinking. And even while I'm praying, I'm still thinking it. And you know that too. So let's just get on the level here, not pull any punches and act like I'm asking for something, a craziness. I just want – just help me to be where you want me to be. And then that's it. And that's kind of where I leave it, because there's things where if I wanted to make leaps in a certain direction, I could do it. You know what I'm saying? And if I wanted to make leaps in another direction, I could probably come up with enough facts to do that too. I once thought the Lord was talking to me through herds of deer because of odd coincidences that kept continuing. And I had to talk myself out of it after a while. But like, it just so happened every time I'd be driving home from this radio show, I'd be praying about something, and I'd think, well, I haven't seen any deer in a while. Father, if I'm on the right track, will you throw some deer around here? And I'll be darned if I didn't pull into my driveway like two minutes later, and there was not just one deer, there were like 10, like blocking my car from entering my driveway. And I thought, I think you're funny. That's the first
Here's
thing I thought.
Good one, guy.
I'm like, I don't know whether you're toying with me or not, but that's funny. I thought, I'm going to keep praying on this thing, that deer thing I was just joking. But it's just weird because usually when I find that God's, when I'm asking God a question, he always deals with me in like oddball sarcasm and weird circumstances. And I find that so awesome because only a God that knows me would know that that's what hits me hardest. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm like, you're kidding me. That's funny, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So, but like I said, sometimes that's hard to discern, right? Sometimes it's hard to discern whether you're making a leap or not making a leap. And so
is really hard.
You have to double down and pray on that and know that, you know, God's got your back either way. But
yeah, if you're really, truly wanting to know God's will and that's really your heart is I don't want to make a mistake. That is one of the hardest things.
Yeah. But the thing is like I always default back to especially some major decisions where there's a lot of road in between A and B. I always assume if God says B is going to happen, it really doesn't matter what I do in between.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I'm not killing guys or living some kind of crazy sinful lifestyle, but I'm like, I'm doing my best. Dad, what do you want me to do?
Killing a guy.
By the way, Lord, I've decided to take up murder.
Just while I wait.
On the way to great things. So, I don't know.
Yeah. God will get you doing what he wants you to do, when he wants you to do it. You know, you think of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. Was that about chapter 8-ish? And we don't know what Philip is doing. All of a sudden, God's like, you're going to be here. And he was
right.
There he was.
Just there?
Yeah. It was like, he's...
Well, that's straighten up your pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I guess I should have been doing that murder thing.
Is this where you want me?
It would appear as though this is where you want me.
I feel like I'd be in a weird spot if that happened to me where I wouldn't know quite how to take it. It was like, am I supposed to go after all Ethiopians? Am I the Ethiopian guy? People in carts?
Did you just move me for one guy? I don't understand what's happening.
Does this define me as an evangelist or do I still get spread around?
I'm wild.
I'm writing my own version of the New Testament.
You're listening live from the Path.
Did you know Jimmy Swaggart wrote his own version of the New Testament?
No.
I was digging through commentaries the other day, and then someone promised me they'd send me commentaries. They didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
But in either case, I was looking through commentary after commentary, and I'm trying to get free ones because I don't want to pay for them.
Uh-huh.
And I come across the Jimmy Swaggart commentary, and I thought, nah,
Let's just say good ones cost a lot of money.
I don't think, yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, Matthew Henry seems to be giving his stuff away for free.
He's dead.
Yeah. He's long dead. He don't care.
A long time ago.
I mean, it's like his wife got mad and threw it out the window and said, it's for everybody.
His family's got that candy bar fortune. They don't need his they don't need his commentary.
And his wife who went, oh, Henry.
I'm getting rid of your commentary. All right, listen, live from the path. If you think we're sadly mistaken and want to take a listen through other bad advice or potential rebuttals that we've given in our previous 41 weeks on godisimaginary.com, you can go to the website, livefromthepath.org. You can listen to the audio archives, watch the video, and, you know, hopefully learn a thing or two, either how to do it or how not to do it. Yeah. And we'll pick up next week. We got a few more to go to hook up with our man and see if we can provide a good defense of the faith. Real quick, I just want to say a quick thank you to our sponsors, On Purpose Promos, On Purpose Promotions. If you go to onpurposepromos.com for all your promotional needs, he's a local guy. It's Jared Roy, and he'll be able to hook you up with a strategy to really get people to figure out to see what you're doing and to latch on to your business or your idea. So go to onpurposepromos.com. Go to the Eisenlauer team. It's eisenlauerteam.com. Bob and Bill Eisenlauer can help you sell your place. They can help you find a new place. I just saw it on Facebook. They're posting pictures of people that they've sold houses to. I mean, those guys are rifling through it. Now's the time to be buying stuff. So, yeah, check out EisenlauerTeam.com. Capanna's Coffee and Gelato in Ames. They're on Lincoln Way, and the weather hasn't quite changed. If you're up to the winter drinks, now's the time to get in there and get it. But it's going to be like mid-50s tomorrow, so it might be time to switch over to gelato. I don't know.
It seems like the right time to switch it up.
Yeah.
I can eat now. I can have that now.
Let's go. Woohoo! Okay. So go to Ames. Go to Ames and check out the what?
Continue on.
Capanna's Coffee and Gelato. And check those guys out. And also, Valley Services. It's spring cleaning time. And sometimes the spring cleaning is way better when you don't have to do it yourself. Go to valleyservices.net. Those guys will help you out and get hooked up on a cleaning schedule. And here's one thing. It's not out of your price range. I know sometimes you think that's a luxury. It's in your price range, and I think you're going to love it. I'd give it a shot. This will be the year. Here you go. If you try it and you decide it's not for you, then cool. At least you know that you gave it a shot. I'd highly recommend giving it a shot. My guess is that you got better stuff to do with your day. You can spend time with your kids. You can spend time working on the project, writing that novel you always wanted to write.
It's not going to be any good anyway. Don't waste your time.
Okay, I agree. Go pet the dog. Everyone knows you bought that dog, and then you had kids. You've been ignoring them ever since. Hire a cleaning service. You can pet your dog more often. Go to valleyservices.net. Also, big thanks to 99.3 KTIA for their letting us use their airwaves just for a little bit of time.
Did you see, speaking of shows, of stuff happening at Ames, did you see Audrey Assad's going to be playing up at the Zeke's?
I did. They're going to be at Zeke's on the 21st?
Yeah.
Yeah, doors open at 7:30. I think the show starts at 8.
Let me ask you this, people out there. If I started keeping track of a concert calendar for you, would you guys check it out? Because, frankly, there's a ton of shows coming through town.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out David Crowder was in town a couple weeks back, and I missed it completely.
I did too.
And that like blows my mind that I had no idea David Crowder had come through town. And I had enough. After that point, I threw down my pen and paper because I was holding pen and paper at the time in case something angered me. And so I threw it to the ground and I said, that's it. I'm going to have to start doing a concert calendar. And so I thought I'd start rigging one up and get it taken care of. But I wonder if you guys would use it. So
yeah, here's the deal, because a lot of the places that do those, they're kind of skewed to their own thing because they have partnerships with particular, you know, publishing houses
that's
or whatever.
Not us.
And we don't care.
No.
We'll tell you everybody.
We'll tell you shows about everybody. Everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Even, yeah.
We have nothing to gain from it.
Except for interviews, Dan.
And nothing to lose.
It's for my benefit because I like to get interviews and go to shows. And so, but I thought I might start getting this rigged up. So if that's something you think you would use, just give us a shout on the Facebook or throw us an email or something and let me know, you know, kind of what type of shows you're looking for, what venues you're at and places that I can be looking. Because I'd really like to get an all-encompassing. I'm pretty sure you can find at least two or three shows, good Jesus shows a week, to go check out. And there's mid-level regional artists traveling around, and there's the national acts, especially the Christian acts that I've seen and talked to. They're all national acts. I mean, they're humping it. They're out and about traveling the country. You know, shows that are you know, a good day's drive away, and they're hitting one about every other day. And so we get a lot of very cool bands traveling through town. And so I'd really like to start getting people out there, and the more we attend the shows as a people group, the more they're going to bring shows here. And so, you know, hit me up on a Facebook and at Live from the Path, and I'll see if I can't start getting a calendar up for you.
Yeah, and just for a heads up of stuff that's coming up, well, first of all, Brian Leach from Service Legends is going to be in the studio on April 8th.
Yeah.
So next Monday we'll get to talk to him. He's a cool guy.
I have a 12-foot stand-up of him coming in. You think that's going to weird him out? No, I think that's going to be cool.
Yes. Okay. That's how you make friends.
Audio Adrenaline is in Indianola on the 11th. We're going to be at that show.
We're going to talk to them.
Yep. And then Audrey Assad is at Zeke's there on the 21st, did we say? 21st, 22nd?
22nd.
Her management might be against me, but we're going to try to talk to them as well.
At least get a 7-foot stand-up.
Absolutely.
She's not 7 foot tall, though. It's going to have to be larger than life.
We'll have to pay extra.
And then the Building 429 show is at the Earlham Church of Christ, and that's on April 27th, and we're going to be there, too.
Yeah, I'm
going
to live at that one.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff going on, guys. Keep an eye out, and we'll we got a couple upcoming events kind of hanging out on the website at lifefromthepath.org. But yeah, I'd love to see some more people come out to that stuff and support those guys. It's a tough industry for Christian artists. And to be honest, people are getting lazy.
Yeah,
people are getting lazy. They're like they buy stuff that you listen to one song. You can download one song at a time. You don't listen to albums. You don't go to live shows. And we don't realize it, but it's going to kill music. It's going to kill the creative the artist behind some of that stuff. So go out and check that stuff out.
Yeah,
I highly encourage it. We've been to a lot of really cool shows and been very privileged. With the Low Rent Radio show that gets us into some places. And it's been very, very fun. Very, very cool. All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. And whether you realize it or not, your ship has come in. You've just stumbled on.
It's time.
To one of the fastest growing internet game shows, Secular versus Solomon.
And now for America's fastest growing game show.
Internet game show.
Secular or Solomon.
Here's the deal. If you're new to the game, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a proverb. You're going to tell me whether it's a secular proverb, whether it's from the world, or whether that bit of wisdom is from the Bible.
Then what's going to happen,
Solomon oriented.
Oh, no.
And then you get a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Hey,
if it is a worldly bit of wisdom, you got to tell me the country of origin.
Is it a country, or can you just say whatever you want, Dan or Troy?
I only do countries.
I will tell you if it's a people group.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Last time we played, Troy kept answering like President of Pizza Ranch or whatever. He just kept making up random specific people.
I think I didn't do that. I think it was Dan that said Epcot Center.
I may have.
Yeah. Okay, moving on, Ben.
All right.
Sorry.
Let's get on the show.
The side commentary is not going well tonight, Ben.
Nope.
All right, here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Make sure you play along at home. If you're playing the home game, get up on the chat. Here you go.
Hold on. I'm going to try to keep my face like this the whole time. Go ahead.
No, I love it. Here we go. First item. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Secular or Solomon? John Bova.
I'm going to go secular Egyptian.
Secular Egyptian. Mike Foost.
Secular Bavaria.
Bavaria, I don't believe, is a legitimate country.
Bavaria.
Oh, man. I forgot to tell you, when we were talking about the night gods, I looked up a list of night deities. There's a ton.
Is there a cool name?
No, check this out. Aztec has Lords of the Night. It's a group of nine gods, each of whom ruled over a particular night. And then I thought to
myself,
there's
only 7 days in a week.
I know. The Aztecs had another couple days in the week.
Kings of the calendar. Screwed it up again.
Anyway, something to think about. Dan Hudson, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, secular or Solomon.
I changed mine to Bavaria, not Bavaria.
Okay,
like
I'll take it.
Who's going with the queen?
I'm going to go secular, and I think I'll say Cuba.
Okay, a word. A
lot of change going on in Cuba.
No doubt. This bit of wisdom is coming out of revolution in Cuba. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. The chat is correct. Solomon.
Proverbs. Oh, I was all the way 11. I was going Solomon, and then I changed my mind.
Proverbs 25:11. There's something very, very special about a word fitly spoken. About saying the right thing.
Yeah, I just didn't remember the silver part.
Here's the thing. Dan is my spiritual authority, and I go to him for Bible readings. So I blame Dan for my failure. Continue on.
Like, that's fair. Here we go. It is better to be born a beggar than a fool. It is better to be born a beggar than a fool, secular or Solomon. Mike?
Secular and Latvia.
Secular, Latvia. Dan Hudson?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, John Boover the Third.
Secular, Lithuania.
Where's that at?
Right next to Latvia.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've been to both places.
Is that Eastern Europe?
Yeah, it's Latvia, Lithuania, and then Estonia.
you guys have targeted this particular area for the fool.
That's where they live.
Luckily, we're on the internet, and no one from overseas can hear.
We're not implying anything.
It is better to be born a beggar than a fool. Secular Spanish.
That's what I said.
Spanish proverb.
Yeah, definitely.
Here we go. It is better. It's better to be a male for one day than a female for 10.
You're darn right it is.
It's better to be a male for one day than a female for 10. Dan Hudson.
Wait a minute. Is the end death? Is I'm saying like I'd rather live one day as a male and instead of living 10 days as a lady? Or do like do you go back to being a dude after the 10 days?
I think it's the 1 to 10.
It's in specific. So, Solomon, does, I mean, it says what they want.
I tell you what, that there's a lot of goofy stuff that happens in Taiwan, and I think they would probably come up with that type of advice.
All my alarm clocks are made there. I feel like it's on the up and up. John Boomer the Third, secular or Solomon?
I'm going to go secular. Saudi Arabia,
the Saudis. Mike Foost, it is better to be born a beggar than a. Excuse me, it is better to be a male for one day than a female for 10.
Secular New Zealand or Austria.
Okay.
Previously
actually,
Austria.
Actually, shoot. This is a so it is secular, but it's a people group. I'm going to give you another round. Buva.
The Yiddish.
Mike.
Austrian.
Dan.
Dan's not good with this.
I don't know.
I was sure it was Taiwanese.
He says people group.
How big? Like Asian?
Oriental?
All right,
Eastern, the Serbs, the Franks.
All right, it's Kurds, Kurdish proverb. Oh. The Kurds.
Where are they from?
Kurdish cheese.
Mesopotamia, Iraq.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know anything of
There's a lot of the battles between the Kurds. And
I'm
going to
call that
Shiites
I was closest.
The... Yeah, the if I remember, the general battle is who descended from Muhammad.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Secular or Solomon?
No.
John Buva?
No.
I'm going to go Solomon.
No.
No, no. Mike Foos.
Solomon will talk about teeth. That's a fail. That's going to be secular. Starts with a P, probably.
Who do talk about teeth, Mike?
Pierogi. Pierogi. South
that's,
Korea.
That's not a people group.
Pierogi? Did you say pierogi?
South Korea.
Our job is not to spread the gospel to the world. We're going to have to stay within our area.
The pierogies
were offensive and difficult to deal with.
Secular.
Dan
I do believe that there are some spiritual overtones, but although it's, I'm pretty sure it's secular, so I'm going the Vatican.
Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Solomon, Proverbs 25:19.
Pierogi.
Yeah, pierogi are dumplings of unleavened dough.
Is that in the ESV?
Yeah.
I don't read that one. I read the Jimmy Swaggart New Testament.
That seems to be going really well for you.
I'm on chapter 2. Give me money.
How do you like my hair?
Yeah, it reads, Proverbs 25 reads, trusting in a treacherous man in a time of trouble is like reading the Jimmy Swaggart New Testament. it's like a man. I had
that's slanderous. I probably shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I have to take it back. It's like a bad tooth. Okay. I just had a tooth taken out this week.
Here's what I used to think happened when I was a kid. I used to think that when they took your teeth out, they fixed them and put them back in. Uh-huh. That ain't the deal.
That didn't work.
No, that's not how it works.
They take it out and then they look it over and then they look at you
in disgust,
very disapprovingly.
Do you see what you did to this?
The top part is only slight evidence of what you've done. And then when they see the full damage, they're like,
yeah.
You ever heard of an apple?
I said, hey, man, I went in there. I love this guy. I said, hey, why don't we crown this thing? And he's like, I wouldn't put any money into that tooth. And then he took it out and he goes, I was right. I said, I got to change my ways.
Do you have any licorice?
My mouth hurts. Do you have an O. Henry?
Here's the funny thing, though, is the Novocaine paste that they start with to numb you before they get to the Novocaine shot tastes like chewing gum. And I said, this is a deceit. If I came in chewing a big thing of bubble tape, I feel like you'd be upset with me.
Except your lip was all swollen. You're like, this is a deceit. Yeah. You ruined me.
All right. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. It's not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory, secular or Solomon. Mike.
That's a Solomon.
Dan Hudson.
I'm not feeling it tonight. I'm going Panama.
Panama.
What do you mean you're not feeling Solomon? It's glorious in honey.
He did throw the honey in.
Is there something about
he
wind
likes
in
the
there?
Honey. The Panamanians have overdone it with the honey.
What is it? Verily, verily. What does he say? Wind. Something wind. Like the wind.
Yeah, like the wind.
Yeah.
Vanity. Vanity, vanity.
Vanity, vanity, wind.
Yeah.
Solomon.
John Boover III.
I'm going to go Solomon.
It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. Winnie the Pooh. Proverbs.
Solomon.
25:27.
Not feeling it, huh, Dan?
I'm not feeling it. I got to read this in ESV again. I still haven't done that.
He who cannot agree with his enemies is controlled by them. He who cannot agree with his enemies is controlled by them, secular or Solomon. Dan.
That does sound like South Korea.
I think that sounds Scottish.
Scottish. John Boover III.
Secular Mongolian.
Mike Foost.
Secular. That's not a country.
Botswana.
I was going to say Roland. Roland's not a country.
I have to take away the country portion.
Roland.
Roland?
You want me to play or not?
He who cannot agree with his enemies is controlled by them. Secular Chinese, a Chinese proverb.
Ooh, that's
I agree
close
with
to Scotland.
I
said Mongol.
I got stopped by this one because I thought that's an interesting bit of wisdom because it is true to a certain extent. If you cannot agree with your enemies, it depends on how you react. You are controlled by them by lack of disagreement.
Give me an example.
Because the very fact that they are an enemy of yours, they have some sort of control over your life for you to have had to deem them an enemy. It puts them in a state as opposed to, say, a neutral party that has no influence on your life. There's effort put into deeming someone an enemy.
No, you're being aware of them.
No, otherwise, if you were just cognizant of him, he's
now,
just a
now listen
party.
Here. It's like saying that like the deadly brown recluse spider is an enemy of mine. I don't spend all my days plotting against them. I'm just aware of them when they come around.
And I wouldn't consider that your enemy.
Maybe you have a heavy definition of enemy. Mine is light. I like to put a lot of people in that category, and you don't like to put very many.
Am I your enemy, Mike?
Botswana.
Enemy or foe is a term for an entity, whether an individual or group, that is seen as forcefully adverse or threatening. That brown recluse.
Forcefully, though?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Really?
Does the dictionary change your ways, Boova?
No.
Feel like you were laid bare and your innards were shown, and you were shown to be lacking.
You were found wanting.
The dentist was right. You're a bad tooth.
You cannot be trusted in time.
Solomon and the dentist were correct.
He who asks is a fool for 5 minutes, but he who does not ask remains a fool forever. He who asks is a fool for 5 minutes, but he who does not ask remains a fool forever. Secular or Solomon? Mike.
Secular.
Roland.
I was going to say Tolkien. Secular. Norway. Norwegian.
Norway.
The Norwedes.
Dan Hudson.
I think it has some good wisdom to it, but I don't know that it's scriptural. So I'm going to go with Madagascar.
Okay. John Boover III.
I'm going to go secular British. I got a big clock.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
He who asks is a fool for 5 minutes. He does not ask. That the 5 minutes, that's where you're getting. They have a clock?
Yeah, don't look at me, Roland.
I said I was going to say it. I didn't commit to it.
You totally did, though.
That is a secular Chinese, again.
Oh.
What a mistake.
Hey, they're taking over.
That was close.
You're a snake in the grass. You know what I'm saying? You know you can't do two Chinese in a row. That's wrong.
Here we go. You're in the middle of America's fastest growing unproven internet game show, Secular versus Solomon, where I give you a proverb. You tell me where. The goal is to try to find out whether it's biblical wisdom or not biblical wisdom.
And sometimes why? Why is it not?
Yeah. Here we go. After shaking hands with a Greek, count your fingers. After shaking hands with a Greek, count your fingers, secular or Solomon. John Boova.
Secular Roman.
The Romans, Mike.
Secular Chile.
Who doesn't like the Greeks? The Chile.
Yeah.
Chileans hate the Greeks.
They're an opposed people.
Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go with Israel.
After shaking hands with
him. Why are you saying like an Arkansas governor?
They rub shoulders with a lot of Greeks.
I'm going to assume that the chat is behind. The Solomon just came up on the chat. I feel like that's not a Solomon phrase. After shaking hands with a Greek, count your fingers, Albanian. Albanian saying. So, the thing to learn from tonight's show, boys and girls, is that if you ever meet a friendly Albanian, never invite him out for a wiro. he might tussle with the proprietor
and then check his fingers.
Man, I was gonna make an outrageous statement there, but I couldn't think of like a common Greek name. Like, what's the name of an everyman in Greece? Yanni?
Yeah.
No, no, that's a special name.
Yanni.
Apollo. Apollos.
No. No, that's ridiculous. Yanni.
It's not Yanni.
It's Sapphira. Yanni. Who was Greek? Somebody was Greek.
Yanni. Going with it.
Is Yanni from Greece?
Yes.
The real Yanni?
The real Yanni.
The real Yanni. Yeah.
The king of the Yannis? Find out where what's his country of origin?
Okay, hold on. Common male Greek names. they got a picture of a bunch of hoodster Greeks
old
here.
Greek men there.
Dimitrios.
Okay.
Yeah, no. The second most common name is Yannis.
Yannis.
Or Giannis.
Yeah. Philip.
Or Giannis.
George. Georgios. Georgios?
We'll go with Demetrius.
Alexandros. Vasilis. Thanasis. Christos. Also very popular.
That's a cool name.
Yanni.
It was Yannis.
Rhodus.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay.
Roland.
Should have been Roland.
My Greek friend Roland. We're going out for pure geese.
I had a dog named Roland.
all right, sorry. Here we go. It's an extended secular versus Solomon. like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Is in the mouth of fools. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of John Boo, mouth of fools. Secular or Solomon? John Boo the Third.
I feel like that was that was you calling me a fool a couple times.
Sorry, what?
You just pick up on that, Demetrius?
I did. I did, Roland. I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go Irish.
Okay, Mike.
Secular and Hamburg.
Roland.
Germany. West Germany. East Germany. They're together. United Germany.
The collective Germany.
Germany united.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go through all the past shows and then produce an atlas only off of guesses that we've made and
Epcot
relative
Center
positioning.
Has to be in there. Roland Piorgis.
The more often we've used the country, the bigger the country is on the atlas.
Oh, no. It'd be like a spherical diagram.
Dan Hudson, like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools.
You know, I'm just going to break the mold. I'm going to go with Solomon, even though I don't recall that at all. But, you know, sometimes the ESV tricks me.
Looks like the chat's in for Solomon, too.
Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Solomon, Proverbs 26,
yes!
7.
Dan in the chat.
Fail.
Somewhere, Buva has really upset a handicapped Irishman.
It appears so. I'm just saying the Irish might have said that at some point in time. Copyrighting.
Here we go. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Secular or Solomon? Dan.
That's my final answer. Solomon.
Solomon. John Boover the Third.
I'm going to go for Solomon.
Mike Foost.
Ecclesiastes. Solomon.
Let's see. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Solomon. Proverbs 25:28.
Hey-o.
Double win. Give me a double song. Score. Mike Foost. From long range.
From downtown.
And now, you've
just listened to...
Show. Secular or Solomon?
All right. Secular Solomon is brought to you by Capanna's Coffee and Gelato.
Heck yeah.
In Ames. You can ponder our foolishness over a delightful gelato.
Yeah. I tell you what. $3-4 and you can say, I'm glad I'm not those guys.
Yeah.
It's a self-esteem booster.
There's things to praise the Lord about. If you're having problems in your life, you're like, I just don't see any blessings in my life. You're not me.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
There's a Demetrius right now. Couldn't be happier.
We What do you think of to talk about my legs? I don't do impressions.
No, you don't.
All right. Anyway.
And yet they continue.
I don't know to regret it until it's happened. That's often how I deal with my wife. They're like, oh, whoops. Hey, I knew better than that from the last time it happened. What a mistake. A man who cannot control himself is like a city without walls.
Yeah, what does that mean? I don't get it. What's the breakdown?
There's no defense. There's no... You just splatter. The whole city is just out there.
You open yourself up for attack, right? A man who can't control himself opens himself up to be invaded by anything.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I'm with you so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Proverbs 25:28. All right. That's the deal. Hey, did anybody catch the end of the Bible miniseries?
No.
What happened?
Here's the thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about this a little bit. But I will say they took some fairly excessive liberties in the final one compared to some of the other things. I mean, they took some liberties.
Did it cover Revelation?
No, just that John wrote it.
Oh.
But there were some just weird choices, things that I felt like were unnecessary. I heard another group of fellas talking about it, and it kind of got back to some of the stuff we were talking about before, where like people are talking about Jesus after looking at it. It's not the scripture. I think everyone's clear that it can't be the scripture. But one of the things somebody said I thought was very interesting is they said it simply shouldn't be done because the medium cannot support it. Like you shouldn't. For example, do we have an issue with representing images of Christ? Should that be an issue for us?
I don't think so.
I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with that.
I think they should just lower, you know, narrow their scope rather than say the Bible. How about if you say like, you know, Acts 4 or something?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a
little
too limited
your range. You could probably, I mean, it's a lot to try to take on the whole Bible in whatever, even 10 hours.
Yeah, you could do the story of David in 10 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And what was it? It was the discussion was like, it's the very basis of video. It sounds like you shouldn't do any kind of video or acting representation of biblical scenes, and I couldn't figure out why.
No, that's dumb.
I couldn't see what the problem.
That's just flat out dumb. Now you tell me when Moses wasn't telling stories to his grandchildren on what went down when they left Egypt that he wasn't like acting it out, you know, for the kids and telling them what. I mean, that's people understand things through a visual medium. That's how it was brought from generation to generation before they had you know big pin and a hammer. So. I feel like visual representation is the way to roll.
Yeah. It was a weird discussion. There's a lot of weird... Here's the thing. For the people that have seen it, for the people who are not Jesus followers, I've heard a lot of positive things, people talking about stuff they didn't normally talk about. People that are Jesus followers and have seen it, I've heard basically the same thing. Okay, that was pretty cool to see some of that stuff. There were some things, places where I felt like it missed, where they took some liberties with the text and they shouldn't have, or, you know, it wasn't exactly what the Bible said, and that's was an issue for me. But other than that, you know, otherwise, some of the stuff was pretty interesting, especially from a history standpoint. So, like, some of that stuff was interesting to me, like recognizing what houses look like, what some of the, you know, what they, how they lived and that kind of thing. And that's been generally speaking. And then the gist of the conversation from other religious folks is they're really upset about it, and they didn't see it. They just saw a bunch of other people that saw it. That gave like some kind of crappy review or like, well, it's heretical, and like a bunch of other stuff. Some of the things that I noticed and I thought, well, that's not right. But they're all cheesed about it and didn't watch it, or like watched it. They were upset about how Jesus looked. He looks too pretty.
Oh, come on now.
You know the thing? That's a stupid problem.
Yeah.
First of all, what are they? I mean, there's only so many actors. I mean, here's the one thing I thought. I thought if that's a barrier for you, that's you. That's a you problem. I saw the Jesus. Like, I didn't think, oh, that's an overly.
He's no
man.
Jim Caviezel, but
I just like that's in your head. Like something's going on in your mind that you need to let go of. That's a problem for you. It's not a barrier for anybody else.
It's a personal thing. Like the people that grew up, you know, two generations before me, they remember the guy from the King of Kings, right? Whoever played Jesus from the King of Kings, that's who they. That's their first representation when they think of Jesus as a human, right? Mine tends to be Caviezel because he was in The Passion of the Christ, and that's what I remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, it's just giving somebody a basis. It doesn't mean it owns it now. Like, Jesus has to be that man. I mean, someone has to play Jesus. You can't just have, like, a shadowy figure and nothing. That's lame.
I don't know.
The whole
conversation kind of irritated me, and I thought, this is something that,
who do you think of when you think of Moses?
Charlton Heston.
Yeah, Charlton Heston.
Of course you do, right? Same thing when you think of Pharaoh, right? Every time you read...
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, you read it again, and even when you read it in the Bible, Yul Brynner comes to mind, right? Is that a bad thing? Is he a terrible representation of Pharaoh? I don't think so. It's not a big deal.
The whole thing kind of made me... It's like the stupid thing that if you were not a Christian and you saw these people arguing about this, you're like, that's dumb. This is stupid.
Actually,
it irritated me. And, like, here's the thing. It's like, I understand why the conversation comes up. I get it. Like, I heard it from multiple places. But, like, I mean, people are talking about Jesus. And you got to protect the scripture and make sure it's not being misrepresented. But, like, intimacy with God will change where people are at. Right. If Jesus was too pretty, I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
That's kind of like with the comic book movies that come out. You know, I remember that the Hulk came out and everybody was all upset. Oh, the Hulk's just not real. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking back and I'm going, well, I used to read the Hulk, but I was never like a comic book guy. I just enjoyed him.
Yeah.
And I thought, I went to the movie totally thinking it's mindless entertainment. I had no problem with it, you know. Yeah. But people who were like big Hulk fans were like, the one where like there was poodles and stuff. I can't remember.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 7, whatever number it was.
Number one.
And was that the first one?
Yeah, it was Eric Bana and Jennifer.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right, you listen to Live from the Path. Here's the deal. If you listen on the podcast, plenty more show to come.
We got more.
If you're on 99.3 KTIA, thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you next week. If you want to hear the rest of the show, including some advice on Dear Life from the Path, go check out the audio that's posted on livefromthepath.org. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Okay, here it is.
Ah, shoot. You know, I didn't mean to talk about that Bible thing. I'd let it go by now.
Actually,
I let it go, and it irritated me. And here's the thing. I like the guys that were having the conversation, and a lot of their conversation was interesting. But, like, that narrow thing, I'm just like, what a waste. What a waste of time and effort. Hey, we didn't watch it. It stinks. It's heretical. It's causing problems. Don't ever represent Jesus visually. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm not protective enough. I don't know.
I was actually really interested. I was reading through the story of Samson last night, you know, and I thought, wish I would have watched that thing on Samson, on the Bible. Because, like, I read that story. It's like in Judges, like, 13 through 16. And I cannot make heads or tails of what's going on in that story. Right? Samson, every time I read it, I'm like, there has to be something I'm missing. Because Samson comes off as the biggest jerk face I've ever seen. Like a pious jerk face. And God continues to enable him to do things, and I'm like, he just keeps getting worse and
jerk
dumber.
Face lust bunny.
Oh, he's just dumb and dumber and dumb and dumber, and then he keeps doing dumb stuff, and I'm like, man, why is God using this guy?
You
know, like I know God doesn't pick the people you think he'd pick, but this guy's like outright taking what God has given him and sitting with it. You know, like he's just terrible, and I'm trying to figure out how to redeem this man, you know? And I don't think I can. Like, it's just he seems to be, like, I don't know how he ever made the heroes of the Bible list.
Yeah.
There's not even, like, David has some redeeming parts to him. Samson doesn't. Like, none. I mean, there's just, like, no redeeming parts to that man.
He even went out killing everybody.
Yeah. He's like, Lord, just let me kill them all.
Yeah, grant me my strength back so I can bring down and kill these thousands.
He went out telling a lie. Yeah, I just want to be propped up against these pillars. Just to support myself. And he's thinking, ha, 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 I'm going to tear the place down. That's a lie, you know? I don't know.
Hey, quick shout out to Sky Does Minecraft Xbox. It's good to see you out on hanging out on the YouTube chat.
Heck yeah.
I saw you.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. You want to do Dear Life from the Path. Here we go. My husband and I have been married almost 10 years. He has always been a good husband, but recently he has been coming home increasingly late. He says he's putting in overtime. The other day when I was doing the laundry, I discovered a red stain on his undies. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
He said they were painting the bathroom at work, and he had gotten paint on it when he used the facilities. But it looks more like lipstick to me. Can you tell me how to get the lipstick out of his shorts?
I'm sorry, what?
That's her advice?
That's the question?
Hold on. This might be April Fool's joke. That seems terrible.
We're not touching that one. That one's gone. No, that one's out.
Okay, hold on. Let me do it. I feel like I've read the April Fool's Day. That's terrible.
That's outrageous.
Okay. Oh boy, something's happened. Okay, here it is. Dear Live from the Path. I have a relative who is very ill. She's not expected to survive. She has a 1-year-old daughter, Whitney, and a husband who isn't particularly interested in parenting once his wife is gone.
My husband and I have a 3-year-old, and my husband would like to have more children. I love this relative and the little girl, but I'm not interested in raising another child. I'm fine with just one. My husband feels we have the love and resources to provide Whitney with a good life. I respect the fact that he feels this way, but I work full-time. I'm also in my mid-40s and already feel overwhelmed being the parent of one child. I enjoy my current lifestyle and being able to travel some. Although we will be fine financially, our lifestyle would be greatly impaired. My husband says I'm selfish for not wanting to share my good fortune. He may be right, but I feel that if I'm talked into taking her, I'll be unhappy and resentful. Please advise.
Ooh,
where are you at there?
That's tricky.
You both have to be all in.
Yeah.
You can't be... If you have to talk someone into it, I mean, we're talking the rest of your life relationship. It's not like, just do this for a little while. It's you got to both be in.
Is it wrong to want to keep a certain lifestyle and travel? Is that wrong?
No.
That's cool.
No. You know what? I
at the peril of others.
No. I desperately wanted more children. And Cheryl didn't. That's different. I mean, it's we weren't talking about it. Well, we talked about adoption once, but, you know, you have to work it out, and you can't.
I don't know if that was to keep up your fantastic lifestyle, though, Dan. I mean, I haven't taken
a
ride.
Setter.
I haven't taken a ride on your boat lately, but I feel like it's terrible.
But, you know, it still goes into how many children can a family handle, you know, the whole stress level.
I feel like it's more than one. Well, maybe I'm wrong here. I might be beating up on the wrong lady, but I feel like, if you're financially all right and you only got one kid and the other your relative is dying and someone needs to take the kid, I feel like you should do it.
I'd be the one who would be up there and be wanting to have the child.
Okay, so here's what I would say. My first inclination would say that you're probably the responsible party to do it. But from her perspective, if she's not in, if she cannot be convinced or have her heart softened towards the matter, I think it's probably a mistake to do it. That's what I think.
It also upsets, there's only one other child, but it upsets the whole balance of everything. I mean, everybody has to be considered in these things.
It's a big deal to take on another kid, and if you're not behind it, I mean, I think that turns out poorly for the girl.
For the child?
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah, that's not a decision that you can take lightly, especially when you're bringing child in, already have a child, have another person taking care, that you obviously have in your household, your husband, your wife.
Yeah. Okay, what's the secular advice?
Secular says, children need love and attention from the adults who parent them. While your husband has that to offer, Whitney, you do not. Because you would be unhappy and resentful if your husband talks you into adopting her, it would be better for you and Whitney if someone who really wants a child and is capable of providing the love and support a child needs, took her.
Yeah.
That's basically what we had.
Yeah.
And I would say that the truly godly thing to do would be to take the child. But if you're not both in, it's going to cause all kinds of friction. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Long-term strife.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life in the Path, there's this guy I like, Joey. My sister likes him too.
Oh.
Joey and I are not dating, although we are very close friends. My sister, of course, decided to ask him out on a date. I am so upset with her. It has been 2 days since their date, and I'm still not talking to her. I can't believe she asked him out when she knew I was about to. I don't want to ruin our relationship, but Joey is now into her. Please give me some advice before I do something terrible.
Okay, first of all, I was going to ask him out. Joey should be asking ladies out, not the other way around, for starters. If you got to chase a dude and ask him, if he doesn't have the chivalry to ask you out, maybe Joey's not the right guy. Number two, even if it was the proper position for the lady to go after him, you didn't ask him
exactly.
out.
No, sorry. You're too late.
If you wanted to ask him out, you should have done so.
Yeah, and here's the deal.
Unless your sister, like, locked you in a trunk to go ask him out, you had the opportunity prior to and you simply didn't do it.
If Joey was into you, he would have said no. You know, I'm sorry, I like your sister. We are not going to date.
Yeah, exactly.
Joey loves Chachi.
What's the deal? You want her to not go out with him and then you're going to date him always thinking that he might be keeping an eye on your sister? This guy's out.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even like Joey.
He's out your circuit. You got to chuck him. Yeah.
Joey. What kind of name is that anyway? Sounds like he drives an El Camino.
It's like Yanni.
Here's the thing. It's just not in the cards, all right? Like, at some point, you got to cut your losses and say, boy, the thing is people get enamored with potential. Yeah. This could be the thing, right? But when it's not the thing, for some reason they get disappointed as if it has the same potential. It's just there's a barricade, but really it's not the potential, right? Like if you live next door to like a really sweet looking gal, and you're always thinking, man, she's gonna date me, right? And then she moves to San Jose, like way away from you. That opportunity, she was gonna move to San Jose anyway. You were never going to like date her for a long time and get married and spend time at the ice cream shop. She moved.
Yeah, I do this with celebrities all the time. I'm almost certain that me and most celebrities would be good friends if they just knew me, but they don't. I'm like, man, if I could just run across so and so at the store or something, I'm sure we'd just hit it right off and we'd have good friends. And he probably gives out awesome Christmas presents.
Uh-huh.
And then and it turns out like they probably, and then like you see him interviewed on Letterman or something. I'm like, man, he's kind of a turd. He's not near as cool as they portrayed him in that movie, you know. And so, but like, I could totally see this happening. Like, Ben's right. The chances of something usually outweigh the actual benefits to it. You're like, I'm almost certain that we would be best of friends if we could just meet up sometime. And it turns out like it's never going to happen, and they probably don't even like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done this before in my younger days, especially. I was almost certain me and very highfalutin people would just, we'd be best friends. Because I fit right in, and I don't at all.
I once sent a letter to a young actress, trying to get her to date me, and I did not receive a response.
I actually just recently tried to get a young actress myself to be my Valentine.
It
did not work out.
It was a fail.
It was a fail.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people put that out there.
It
nothing.
Yeah.
No response. I was
no
sad.
Return at all. Yeah. See. And she's probably not sitting at home going, man, if I could just have a guy from a low rent Christian radio show give me a buzz, we'd be Valentines forever.
We'd really hit it off.
Never going to happen.
Nope. Yeah, I guess overall is to recognize that the thing that you're really excited about, right? The person that you really want to be around. If you find out that you can't be around them, like at the same time, you need to recognize that your expectations for what could have been should also be lowered. Right, you didn't miss out on the. It's not like going to the Olympics and breaking your leg as you're walking to the stadium. That stinks. The opportunity is still there, and you simply can't do it. Right, but like to the extent that in my previous example, when the girl moves to San Jose, even if you started dating her last week, she's still moving to San Jose. She's still gone. And the thing that you thought was going to happen was never going to happen.
Yeah.
So put your expectations back where it belong. Joey, who dates your sister and who has to be asked out by the ladies, is not the cream of the crop.
Yeah, seriously.
You built him up too high.
Where's your old man in this deal? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Secular says, if your sister jumped in knowing you were interested in Joey, it was sneaky and wrong. But you have nothing to gain by declaring war over it. Keep your options open and bide your time. Oh. With luck, the romance will blow over. That's terrible. And when it does, if you have maintained your position as Joey's close friend, you could make your move then.
Oh, my gosh.
It may take nerves of steel, but I have faith in you. And it will be well worth it in the long run. Are you kidding me? Plot your own sister's relationship demise so you can pounce on Joey?
Hope their relationship crashes and burns so you can jump in and get...
This is the worst advice ever. Seriously. Secular's really falling off the wagon.
Hold on a second. The chat is contending that since we are not ladies, we don't understand.
What do you mean?
You are not girls. You don't get it. That's broken girl code.
Okay, hold on. Hit me with the gist of it because I'm not following you.
I mean, is Joey really very attractive?
Let's say Joey.
If the sister knew, she shouldn't have done that. Well, I mean, I think we obviously know that it was wrong for the sister. If you knew your sister liked somebody.
Well, they both liked him. So why is it wrong for one and not the other?
Oh, that's true. They both have to stay away? That's a good
question. Either both stay away or whoever goes first gets it. I mean.
No, I don't seem fair what you're saying, Dan.
If there's like. Three of us are at the kitchen table, and there's one piece of ham left, and we all want it.
Well,
whoever reaches for it first gets it.
No, obviously you don't need it, and Ben doesn't even like ham, so I feel like the ham's mine. Done.
No, you're right.
I want the ham.
There's only three of us, and you're not one of them.
That's a crappy solution. You split the guy in half, Solomon style. That's what you do. I can solve problems.
You take the top part.
That's David style.
Wait, the one who liked him first gets first dibs. How do you know that's not the one that got him?
Yeah. What if one of them says, I liked him from the Hawaii
first? Yeah, exactly. You're going to get in that argument of, hey, I liked him from April 1st. Well, I was March 31st. So
I loved him in the womb.
Those were the
I had my eye on him from the second
I wrote
he moved
I wrote
over
Joey
town.
And Amy forever on the fetus.
It's in my diary. You thought I love kangaroos, but I don't.
Kangaroos is a code word for Joey.
I love Joey.
I don't understand, ladies. Isn't there something unattractive being attracted to the same guy as your sister? I mean, don't
I think you see friends do
or
that.
Or is that just like
girls?
Sibling rivalry coming out in full fruition?
We better watch our steps here, boys. I don't know anything about ladies. I don't want to make assumptions about women. I don't know how it goes
down. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Is everyone looking at me? Because I know women. Is that why you're looking at me?
Yeah, go ahead. Lay it on
Absolutely
us.
Absolutely not.
Everything I've said is gold. All women agree. Next.
All right, you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
One more live. Hold on, I gotta find one. I thought that was my ace in the hole. It was going to really eat up some bandwidth. Hang on.
Well, we had to skip dude undies. It put us in a real spot.
Oh, that one seems kind of serious.
If you're going to take a while, so I know we talked about it at the very beginning. I had a real quick Pope-style advice. While he's looking that up, I wanted to say that I was faced this week with something that I've never really had before. So when I was first starting out my walk with Christ and everything like that, my prayer life was minimal. It was not very great. I prayed every once in a while, and then I started getting better and better to where I could sit down for a while and really pray and really get into some prayer with God. Just recently, I kind of had I flipped back. I wasn't able to pray fervently and wholeheartedly like I did before. I wasn't able to sit down for 25 minutes and pray or anything like that. So I actually made a list. I sat down even before I started praying, and I started thinking about the stuff that I really wanted to give to God and the people that I thought about while I was thinking, you know, I need to bring this to God, the stuff that I'd been talking to people about. And I had a list of about 15 things. And as I started reading off these prayers, as I'm doing like a constructive prayer that I had just made, everything came flooding right back to me. And it was crazy because I'm seeing like number one, you know, my job, number two, my family, whatever. And then I start breaking down into more and more stuff that I'm seeing. And I even get into more prayer, more prayer, more prayer. And I sat down for an hour and a half and I was praying like wholeheartedly over this 10 bullet point list. And the last bullet point was not, and so on, and so on, and so on, or et cetera. It was an actual bullet point, so it was proper. So, yeah, if you're having a lot of trouble with your prayer life, I don't see a problem with making a real quick list that you can run off of. It really helped me a lot.
No, I think that's totally cool. I mean, who says you should only pray about, like, whatever your mind can think of at the time?
Yeah.
I think it's something to – if you're going to bring your sorrows and your grievances – and your wants and your blessings and your thanksgiving and your praise to God, what would be wrong with making sure that you've prepared?
Right.
You've brought it in with you. I mean, it's not like you're submitting the list to God, but like, hey, man, these are the things I want to talk about. I want to make sure I don't forget to talk to God about these things. I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of the mental list that you would normally do when walking into a prayer, you've got an actual physical list.
Yeah.
And it helped me quite a bit, and I was able to expound quite a bit off of that and have some serious, awesome prayer time.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, this one's pretty solid. Dear Life from the Path, I am a plus-sized woman. I am loud and boisterous, and I like to surround myself with similar women. However, there's a problem I am now facing. Many of my friends have made amazing transformations and gotten fit. I am fully supportive and impressed, but I see the price they are paying. They are no longer confident and vivacious. They have become timid, approval-seeking shells of their previous selves. Why do newly thin women forget how awesome their personalities used to be? Does this happen? Does it? I don't understand, ladies.
I don't get it. I've been losing quite a bit of weight, and I'm not losing my – well, I hope I'm not losing my personality as I get smaller and smaller.
I feel like your eyebrows are starting to take over your face, but apart from that, I haven't noticed any personality changes.
Your static electricity from your back here is causing the guitars to play in their own in the room. Yeah, other than that, yeah, no, I don't notice any problems. Zap.
I do like...
Thanks, gentlemen. I really appreciate that.
I do like
there.
Me, a vivacious, loud woman. I tell you that, though. You know, they come in...
Boisterous.
They give her the business. I really enjoy that.
Crack of peanuts on the floor.
Yeah.
So
her problem isn't really with, like, herself or anything like that. It's just with, why are people doing that?
She feels like, look, they were buddies. I think
she's making an excuse to also not get fit.
Right.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Back away from the mic.
Sometimes the loud...
I will back away from the mic. I think that's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah. I think sometimes the loud, vivacious behavior is a diversion
right.
from the fact that I'm overweight.
Yeah.
You'll pay attention to that rather than
I developed my personality cool. because I developed my personality because I was made fun of. Mm-hmm. When I was in elementary and junior high and high school, I had to become quick-witted. I had to become the loud, boisterous guy so that I wasn't made fun of. If I was the one who had the first laugh and if I was the one with the first comment, no one was making fun of me.
Actually, Pauly Shore thought the same thing, and look what happened to him. He's going downhill. Terrible.
He's also made a ridiculous amount of money. Just saying.
Yeah. I didn't realize you were so worldly.
I'm not worried about my monetary value. I'm just saying that's exactly what I had to do. I had to compensate because I didn't have the physical looks and
so do you forget where you came from if you lose weight or but where
you can become a wallflower. I'm a pretty big guy if I walk into a setting I'm generally head and shoulders taller than everybody around me and it's just you're just a large person. I have to be careful where I stand. If I'm in a crowd, I have to be careful where I'm sit so that people behind me can actually see, things like yeah. that.
You're not from the Jack and the Beanstalk. You're not like 9 foot tall.
I know.
Don't sit here.
It's just part of the things that go through your mind.
Yeah, it would be easy. I think
Gigantor.
You have to be getting fit for the right reasons for you to not lose out on your personality.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're doing it so that you can abandon your former self to become, the fit you because of worldly standards, I feel like that's happening a lot. People are getting fit not because they're becoming healthy, not because they're worried about their life expectancy. They're becoming fit because they want to look more like the models and the TV stars. That's ridiculous.
Maybe they just want to get healthy. You don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not the model's fault that they are healthy.
No, I never said it was the model's fault that they're healthy.
It's ridiculous.
No, it is ridiculous that these people want to model themselves after other people because that is the industry standard beauty. And if you're doing it for that reason, I feel it's very easy to let go of who you were because you thought that everything associated with who you were at one point in time is in itself disgusting and not beautiful. So that whole persona, everything you were before you became fit, needs to be abandoned. But if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're doing it to get healthy, to get fit, so that you can live
longer,
have a
beach-ready body.
No, not even beach-ready body.
Ready for the sands.
If you're getting a beach-ready body so you can swim and feel great swimming and
be able to swim
for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, here's what I want. I want. When I walk by, I want people to go, that's a hunk of man.
When I walk by,
here's the thing: I've done it. I've been there. I've accomplished that.
I want to stop jiggling when I laugh. That's my thing.
Maybe you should be more of a mean character.
I'm sick of laughing, and then things around me are shaking because I'm laughing.
I really enjoy what you're saying.
I don't remember where I was, but I was laughing hysterically the other day, and the contraption that I was on was shaking from my laughter, and I realized it wasn't because I had such a booming laughter. It was my stomach was.
I'm interested
moving
in
with my laugh.
I've not been on a contraption. I'm interested to know what you were like a seesaw.
I was on this merry-go-round. I was out at the at Sailorville Lake, and they have the docks are actually pulled out of the water right now, and I was sitting on one of them.
All right.
So it was actually on the ramp, the metal contraption that's the dock outside of the water, and I was sitting on the end of it. And I was laughing, and the whole thing was shaking back and forth and creaking, and I could not stop laughing. And I was laughing because I was laughing and what I was doing because of it. There's also a comedian that talks about he wants to lose enough weight to where he doesn't jiggle when he brushes his teeth, which is understandable.
That's impossible to do.
Or don't have hair ties cut off the circulation to your wrists. That's understandable as well. But I'm trying to get healthy because I want to be healthy. I don't care about what I look like. I want to be healthy.
That's noticeable. Here's what.
Thanks, Mike. What's secular's advice on that one?
I think it's all right to look at. You assume that all celebrities and healthy people or fit people are it is vanity, but they're just fit.
It's
all right
that.
To look at someone and say, "Hey, I'd like to look like that person."
They take care
of themselves. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
I never said it. I assume that everyone that does that is that reason.
Giving a caveat.
I said that if it's your reason, you just want to be the industry standard beautiful. If that's the reason. I'm not saying that everyone is fit is vain. That's not.
I would like to be handsome like the industry. Is that wrong?
That's not a bad thing. But if that's your sole focus, yes, it is a bad thing. If that is the only reason that you're being compelled to do anything, that's vain. That's complete vanity.
No, I just want to be large and in charge.
What if I want to give my wife some sweet arm candy? Doesn't she deserve that?
I think she's married you and
or
loves you right now.
Or at least get rid of the embarrassment.
Wait a minute.
Trust me, I said that too. I literally just told someone that I know I'm still trying to lose weight, that you're holding out to eventually have a good-looking boyfriend. Yeah. I promise you that.
What do you mean? Did you say she married me anyway? Is that what you said?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a responsibility to try to produce, to try to do the best I can to make her decision better as years go on?
Yeah.
I never said that. I'm saying that I feel like that shouldn't be the number one thing that you're focusing on.
I love my wife. I want her to have sweet
arms. You're a heartless warlock of a man.
I'm a heartless Booba. Warlock of a man.
Don't you understand love?
Fine. If you want to look great for your wife, awesome. But as long as it's not something that's just based and surrounded in vanity.
Your back hair just zapped me again.
Good. That's what I was going for. I've been shaking a little bit to come up with some static energy.
Here's the thing. After that story you told, all I could think of was like walking randomly out by Sailorville Lake and like with no one else around, you're just like sitting on a pier.
I was laughing. I wasn't by myself at Sailorville Lake. Doing this exaggerated guffaw on a boat ramp. Let's see what happens.
Oh. I can't believe I drove out here to do this.
And then, like, I feel like I could have done this at home on a bed.
Like silence, and he looks around and he goes, zap!
I feel like I might have to do this now just to see what people do as they
pass. All right,
pass.
Here we go. Secular says, not knowing your friends, I can't answer for them, but it is possible that having become transformed and fit, they no longer feel they... I do that. I have a loud voice because otherwise people don't listen to me.
I feel like people still don't listen to you.
Well, you might be right about that.
It's a possibility.
I've toned it down lately.
I'm one of those people.
You're listening to Life from the Path on lifefromthepath.org. Sometimes when people say bonus content, it's only a bonus if it's good.
It's just longer. That's probably what you should say. That's more appropriate.
Listen to the live show for content.
Yeah, hang out longer, there's more.
I think that's not making any unrealistic promises. There's more show.
Zap!
Guffaw!
All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Make sure to catch us during the week at livefromthepath.org. You can check out past clips from the show, including previous sessions of Secular versus Solomon, brought to you by Capanna's Coffee and Gelato in Ames. Also, hey, get out to see some live music. Remember, we're going to be at the Building 429 show on April 27th. Brian Leach is going to be in the studio next Monday. We'll be talking to him from Service Legends. The Audio Adrenaline show is also that week on a Thursday. You can check that out. And Audrey Assad is going to be at Zeke's on the 22nd. Lots of cool stuff going on.
Dig on the concert count. I'm going to put it up. Maybe not this week. Next week. I'll get it up there.
Clear your calendar. Get out and do something. John Booba, make up some lyrics to the student.
I feel like I can do this for next week. Not right now. I'm not an ad-libs here. Lyrics guy. Mike, go.
Here it is. Wait a minute. It's going to change chords a minute. Sitting by the lake. Doing the jiggle laugh. I'm by myself. All by myself. I'm sitting by the lake.
That again is app. That again is app.
Uh-oh. I took a cab there when I'm by myself again. Where's my car? I'm laughing by the dock. I don't know where I'm going. Someone's going to pick me up.
All right, you're listening live to the bat. Have a good week.